People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a new round of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. For those who may not be familiar, SDHAM is the morning show attached to the Soccer Down Here Network, the SDH Network. You can find it starting 9.05 a.m. Eastern Time every Monday through Friday, and we usually go 2 hours. The marker is 11.05. Trust me, we do go into added time pretty much every single day. And what we like to do is we like to set the table for you on everything that's going on in soccer, what you might have missed in the overnight, what you might have missed when it comes to stories, and the personalities and the pundits and those that are in the news and are in your neighborhood or in your footprint when it comes to the growth of the beautiful game. This week, a couple of different angles that we have that wanted you to kind of give a listen to. And first and foremost, obviously, with Atlanta United taking on Charlotte FC, it's an opportunity for opposition research, and we bring in Will Pelagic, the play-by-play voice for Charlotte FC, to get his thoughts on what's been going on with Charlotte as they get ready for the matchup Saturday night against Atlanta United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Then we catch up with a couple of personalities from Apple TV and their coverage of Major League Soccer. First and foremost, one of the busiest people in the business, Lori Lindsay. We catch up with her, and it is one of those great scheduling ideas by her. She's spending the entire weekend calling back-to-back days, back-to-back matches, different leagues in one location. And so we catch up with her before she heads off to match number one, NWSL, and Major League Soccer in one place in Harrison, New Jersey. So we get her thoughts about what's going on in the NWSL and with what's going on with her matchup with Philadelphia and Red Bulls. And then we catch up with someone who is trying to learn what it's like to be on this side of the microphone full-time. Kai Kamara has been spending time in on the desk with Kevin Egan, BWP, Sasha Kleshchin, Dax McCarty. Take your pick. He's been now a part of the table that brings you MLS 360. So we catch up with Kai and find out what it's like for him to be having to split your head in two and having to listen to folks and having to have all these conversations when it comes to MLS 360 on Apple TV. So it's a new part of the CV for Kai Kamara, and we get to catch up with him. We also get to talk about Cal State Dominguez Hills Toro Soccer, but it's really cool to catch up with Kai Kamara. So this week, it is Kai Kamara, it is Lori Lindsay, and to start things off, it is Will Pelagic, play-by-play voice of Charlotte FC, as we get you ready for Charlotte and Atlanta United.
So before we started, you told me that this is a piece of history that we are embarking upon here today.
This is the last broadcast I'm doing from this room because we are in the process of moving. So basically, you can't see off camera, but everything is in boxes and totes. This desk will probably be gone tomorrow.
Wow.
This will be gone tomorrow. This will be in storage. This will be gone. It'll be that is tonight's project to get it all off the walls. So when the movers come, they can take it and put it in the storage because we're building a house about no more than a half mile away from here. But we're putting everything into storage so folks can come and stage it and make it look a heck of a lot nicer than it does, even though it doesn't, you know, it looks nice now. It right now is in need of some, I guess what the realtors call staging.
Yes. Yeah. So if anybody wanders in and it's like, well, and this is where Wiplogic does his radio hits and, you know, and his television material.
And it's going to get painted because we have it actually painted a very nice color back here, but it's iron ore around the rest of the room. This is kind of a, what we call an accent wall or whatever. And we had it iron ore. It was meant to give a really nice, you know, almost kind of like the study in Clue was the vibe we wanted.
There you go. Okay. All right. And does this mean that we get to be the first one to go from the new studio space when the house is for the proper bookmarking of the whole thing?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Just checking.
We all have to pray for Atlanta United to play Charlotte FC early in the season when that's able to go.
We'll boogie on that. Since you had a 4-point week, figured we'd talk about both matches and kind of work our way forward to what to possibly anticipate coming up this weekend.
7, if you count the previous weekend.
Yes. And so you got 7 points in like 9 days or 8 days or something like that. Something that United can relate to, 9 points in 9 days themselves. So when you look back at this most recent stretch, what has stuck with you about where things are right now?
Three different games, John. When you think about it, you had a Columbus game where Charlotte started out the aggressor early and, you know, they scored 2 goals in 7 minutes. They did give one back, but then got another one in the second half. You had a Toronto game where you felt like you were in the driver's seat and then not only in the driver's seat, but up a man after being in the driver's seat. And then you concede 2 goals late on a couple of switched off moments defensively, which has unfortunately been the emblematic thing of Charlotte FC season. And then a game on Saturday against DC United that you really didn't feel like you were in, felt like it was a stalemate through 45 minutes, maybe one that you kind of let them in for the better part of 55 minutes. They score. And ever since once they scored, it lit a fire underneath the behind, a shot in the arm, whatever analogy you want to use.
Sure.
And then the rest of the game, they looked like they were gangbusters. They get 2 goals off set pieces, which has just become our calling card now since we hired Charlotte FC's new set piece coach, Carl Hooper from Aston Villa. He gets 2 goals in a span of 64th and 66th minute. And then Pep Biel does his thing in the 77th minute. You get 3 goals in 13 minutes. And all of a sudden, what looked like a certain disaster turns into a victory. And maybe, I don't want to say the result flattered Charlotte, but I'll just take it right out of Dean Smith's mouth. They have played better in games like they've played better in games than they played this past Saturday and not won. So maybe they felt like they were owed one from those who control that up above, but it is what it is. So I will say that I don't know if there's anything you could call a common thread between all three of them, but the thing is they're getting results and they played very, very well, you know, since the World Cup break. The only times they've dropped points are against Atlanta in that game against Toronto and then the 3 against Chicago. And that's the only time that they've dropped points from winning position all season. So while many would look at it and say, oh, this is a trend, they prefer to look at it as an outlier.
Does anything surprise you where Pep Biel is concerned anymore?
I'm surprised when he doesn't do it, put it that way. I'm surprised when he doesn't come through because it seems like he has become Mr. Reliable and it's become a talking point around the Charlotte FC lexicon on where he sits in the pantheon. And again, it's a short pantheon because it's only 5 years or 4.5 years of where he sits in the hierarchy. And right now, It's him and Kalina, as far as I'm concerned. And I know that a lot of Charlotte FC fans will look at Karol Swiderski very fondly. And not that I don't, but I think that from a vibe standpoint, you always kind of left yourself wanting more with Karol.
Yeah.
And I think, too, there was always this air of he was very dependent on a lot of things happening for him, whether it was service, whether it was calls, whether it was the right person to play off of him, whether it was a central attacking midfielder or a winger. Pep Biel doesn't need much. he can handle it with the service. He can get into dangerous areas. And even in games where you don't think that he's occupying dangerous enough space, he gets on the bike and runs with Liel Abada and puts a goal in the back of the net. And it basically just comes into the statement that I'll make is that I think he's the best outfield player we've ever had. I'm not going to sit here and say it's not close between him and Karol Swiderski, but I think he's one that Charlotte FC identified. And you have to think back to this, and I've been reminded of this a couple of times by some fans. He wasn't the first choice when Charlotte FC was in that window. The first choice was Calvin Stengs,
mm-hmm.
and there was a big celebrated failure of a physical involving Stengs, and as a result of that, there was a lot of hand-wringing, and people were angry about it, and I think there's a lot of people who, you know, back then were like, oh, you know, Pep Biel kind of comes out as an also-ran. If you look at Zoran Kaneda's board, Pep Biel was high up on it. So it wasn't like they completely, you know, went off the board to try and get Pep Biel at the end. He's somebody that they looked at. They always have contingencies upon contingencies, and they very much like Pep Biel. He had the great season at Copenhagen in 22-23 that I think was kind of what they wanted to have him return to the form of. And I've asked him about that multiple times, and he says he thinks that this run of form for him is better because he's a much more mature player. He, I think, appreciates it a heck of a lot more because it had gone awry for him, and like many people who enter this league, a lot of times it goes awry for them, and they have to put it back into place. And now he is reaping the benefits of it because he's got players around him, he's got finishers around him, and most importantly, he's got the confidence to be able to really do anything on the football field he wants to.
We always talk about positional gravity when it comes to those focal points for any club that we're discussing. And when defenses try to lock down on the number one, then that creates opportunities for those around.
Sure.
Who this season has benefited the most from the positional gravity that Pep Biel attracts when Charlotte FC goes on the field?
I'll answer that two ways. It's definitely helped our wingers. Mm-hmm. Abada has, I think, looked a different player since the World Cup break, and he has been able to get in a lot more space because of him, because of Pep Biel and the way that the people flock towards him. I think it will help Alan Saint-Maximin a great deal. It certainly helped Adolfo Aloko with the goal that he scored in Toronto. But the real help is that I think the back line has benefited a lot because they now have more goals with their back line than Dean Smith's entire tenure combined. I mean, you had two fullbacks score. That's never happened in Charlotte FC's history. You had two fullbacks score. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, he used to say this about Nathan Byrne whenever Nate scored in practice. We would end the practice if Nathan Byrne ever scored a goal. It wasn't Byrne in this case. It was Will Cleary and David Schnegg.
Right.
And Schnegg scored a couple of goals. And you want to talk about shrewd signings? Like, they got him off waivers,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to some people, you know, connected with DC United, and I asked them, I said, am I missing something here? Is something wrong with Schneggy? And they said, no, I don't know what we're doing. And you could tell he took it personally, and you know, he told me, he said, you know, my time in DC was not much to write home about. I'm hoping for a new fresh start in Charlotte, and he is very much loved his time here, and they've needed him because of the injury to Harry Toffolo. You've got Henry Kessler, who's gotten into the act. Morrison has gotten into the act too as well, and a lot of those come off of services from Pep Biel. So, again, I feel like maybe because of the fact that you have to account for his service, that helps him. But the one unreached part of this,
mm-hmm.
that I hope it starts to help, John, is the two center forwards, and I'm sure you'll ask about both of them, but I think it's one of those things where when you have two young guys like that, and you want them to push each other, you just hope that you get the results that go along with them. But something that Dean Smith said to me this morning, he said, look, you know, when you're having two developmental center forwards, you have to get goals from other areas. And you know, they're getting it from the back line. They're getting it from the wings. And most importantly, they're getting it from Pep Biel, because even when he has Pellies around him, he doesn't need a whole lot of room.
And I will bookmark the Alan St. Maximin discussion so we can talk about the young center forwards. How are they, in your estimation, developing? Because, I mean, you look at Anidan Toklamadi, when he first showed up, a lot of folks would sit there and say that he wasn't even a household name in his own household. And right. And now he's developing, and he's becoming one of the danger men that you see for Charlotte. So how are the youngins up top, how are they progressing?
I would say that there's still some more movement to be done. And it's not that Edon has had a poor season. He's got 6 goals, mm-hmm. 3 assists. But it is one of those things where I think you need to see more moments from him in games. And I think you need to see him be more threatening. I think that the biggest problem with him is that he needs to know the service is coming. And sometimes he'll drop back further, almost kind of like Patrick Ogemon used to do this too. And Dean said, you know what, we needed to stay high. The thing that's different between the two of them is that Edon is willing to do the thankless running. They needed to get Patrick to do that and develop that as he kind of went along. It's just a matter of he likes to veer outside the boxes, and Dean wants to keep him like, hey, I need you to stay within the confines of the 18-yard box, you know, left side and right side, because if you get in the corner, that's part of the areas where both wingers and where Pep Biel sometimes likes to play at as well. And we don't need you overloading that area. We need you in the center, waiting for a cross, waiting for a header, waiting for, you know, some dirty goal right around the middle of the park. Thing about Archie Goodwin, his counterpart, is that Archie has one speed.
Mm-hmm.
He calls, you know, he is Australian, and he calls himself the Tasmanian Devil. So like, yeah. he is all over the place. And I think a lot of that's good, but a lot of it also needs to be harnessed properly. And I think that's one of those things that they're still trying to figure out with him, is that, okay, we got a player who's willing to, you know, who doesn't feel like he has an empty. I would call him, from an energy standpoint, the Brant Bronico of center forwards.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't seem to have a tank that ever hits empty. It's just a matter of how do you go about, you know, harnessing that? How do you go about making that happen? I still, you know, would like to see Archie maybe more from the start than Edon, because I think in the times that they've done that, Edon has looked more threatening off the bench against tired benches,
mm-hmm.
whereas when Edon comes in from the start, I think part of the reason they've been using Edon from the start is they really want to try to get him going. It just hasn't really gotten going for him. So it's one of those things where and the goal that he scored against Toronto was emblematic of a lot of the goals he has scored. It's just right place, right time. He kind of cleaned up the mess from his Israeli counterpart, Liel Abada, when he was basically stymied to the net by Sean Johnson. I need him to be, you know, more of that threat around the net and more, you know, being able to create his own a little bit too as well, just because I think that'll come. But I think they're both kind of suffering from, hey, the spotlight's on me. I think the number 9 shirt, too, is wearing a little bit on Edon. He's carrying it with a little bit extra weight. But I don't think either is having a bad season by any means. I think that, you know, fans and I think the coaching staff would want to see more out of him.
Well, and to your point, so if you start Edon Toklamadi, then you get the artistry, the imagination, the ideas of working with others, where I just have this vision of Archie. And if Archie, say, comes in for the final 30, you have the Tasmanian Devil sitting there going, blah, blah, you know, for 30 minutes. Yeah. And instead of having to deal with that energy for 30, you wonder if you start Archie and you have that kind of energy off the top, then you wonder if it crashes. Like, you know,
that's my hypothesis.
Yeah.
I think Archie can wear out defenses more during his hour, mm-hmm. so that when you have Edon to come on, it has you beleaguered in the back on the opposition side, and you don't know how to deal with it when it comes to Edon. And I think, you know, his energy and his presence is more deft than I think Archie's would be. Not that it's ineffective, but I think it's more crafty in nature. Maybe that's a better adjective to describe it. It's more crafty than it is energetic like Archie is.
Yeah, it just seems like it's two different speeds, but I think you want that with that particular position, so you have that change of pace and you can dictate it towards your opponent.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You don't want two guys who are the same. Right. And I think, you know, there are some people who get in the habit of some teams who get in the habit with their build where it's like, oh, we have to have, you know, we have to have two target men because we always have to have a target man, or we need to have, you know, two poachers, or we need to have two guys with technical skill. I think it's good to have that change of pace because it also, as Dean Smith has said a lot of times with his midfield, you know, he likes crafting his midfield in order to handle different oppositions. And so you see one guy in a game, he feels like he's good for that game, but maybe not good for another opponent. And so not that they necessarily don't want to be the term dictators, but they feel like they can do that with different bodies.
Alan St. Maximin had the most dribbles against DC United with 4. And this is courtesy of our friends at FOTMOB. Played 83 minutes. The XG and the XA, low number under a 0.5. 76% passing, 25 of 33. Had two chances created, a big chance created, one shot off target. 51 touches, 4 touches in the opposition 18, 4 successful dribbles out of 6, 5 passes into the final third. He's hitting a lot of different boxes here. He got the one cross, he's got the two long balls, offsides once, and he had one pick and one recovery, and then he won 7 out of 12 duels on the evening and fouled 3 times. What did you think about Alan St. Maximin being out there on the left?
If this is him getting up to speed, I don't envy MLS defenders when they go up against him. Mm-hmm. I don't envy the right backs. I don't envy the center backs because that man knows what to do with the ball. He puts it on a string. It's a yo-yo with him. And I think the other part of it, too, is that he's still getting his sea legs in this league. He's still getting his sea legs, particularly when it comes to playing on turf. And I think he's also trying to figure out what kind of leeway he can have in terms of whether it's calls, whether it's his teammates, and trying to figure out, okay, who wants the ball where. And something that I found very interesting is that Dean Smith said, you know, they did a bunch of video work on Alan St. Maximin to say, hey, this is where he likes to deliver the ball. These are the spots where we want you to be at when he delivers the ball, because as much as he's going to adapt his game to us, we need to adapt the where we are to where he's going to be, because he's going to be so very impactful in that when he does shake one or two or three men and gets the ball away, you got to know where the ball is going to be. And I think that's something that they're trying to figure out on the fly. It's again, a product of, you know, the window being where it is, that they were only able to get his visa in here after a couple of weeks in, after he was signed officially. And there was obviously a little bit of a delay and lag in that. So I think there are a lot of people who kind of wondered, hey, could this process have maybe been sped up or started sooner? But the fact that you got 82 minutes out of him, I know that Dean said he was complaining about some dead leg. It came off, and it looked scarier than it really was. But it's basically he's just dealing with a contusion. There's nothing structurally damaged or anything like that, so he should be good to go this weekend. It's fascinating to see the difference between him and Wilfried Zaha from a mentality standpoint, and I think also just from the way that they carry themselves. I think also, you know, one of the things that Maxi said to us in one of his first press conferences, he said, you know, if I get 3 defenders around me, I know that I got to pass the ball. I'm not going to try to take all of them on. It's not something. And I don't know if he was trying to throw some stick towards Wilfried Zaha's way, but I think I think he's savvy enough to know that maybe there was some distaste in the mouth from a lot of Charlotte FC fans from the way Wilf left and departed the club. Yeah. Probably one of the more complicated legacies of a player that we've had here, because I think you saw the quality early on. You saw the magic he could do. Maybe it's at a diminished form than what he was in his prime in Crystal Palace. But Maxi, certainly, I mean, he's 5 years younger, so he brings a little bit more dynamism. And hopefully the biggest thing when it comes to Maxi is will the counting stats follow the great dribbling and skills? Because, you know, we talk a lot about dribbles, we can talk a lot about carries, we can talk a lot about take-ons. People are only going to care about goals and assists, and if those follow, then he's going to become a great player here in this league and with this club.
And the W's that you would hope that if you're a Charlotte FC fan that would be attached to all of those G's and A's that would be working
very soon.
What kind of a matchup are you expecting this weekend, sir?
Well, Atlanta's obviously feeling like they've found something with a three-game win streak, and I know that there's all the rumors about Brielle Mbolo coming in and the U22 midfielder as well, who were, you know, trying to infuse that squad with a lot more moxie, and I think Charlotte from their perspective kind of feels like, man. In two results, they didn't give the best of themselves, particularly in the Open Cup contest where they were heavily rotated mm-hmm. and didn't feel like they put forth their best effort and best output of performance. And then in a home game where in their mind, they feel like they gave away 2 points. And it's a situation where it's been emblematic of their season. There have been problems with finishing out games and finishing out moments and finishing out situations where you'd hope that they could get more out of those games. And they're going to be coming in highly motivated. They have obviously liked playing in Atlanta, given the way that the results have gone the last 3 years. And I think there's a big, big sizable contingent of Charlotte FC fans. As always, they'll be headed down for it. But they're taking nothing for granted. They know the gravity of how important the match is, and they also know that how condensed this East is. I think when you think about third all the way on down, you know, up until you get till Philadelphia, mm-hmm. all those teams are jockeying for position and feel like they have a right to the playoffs, and Atlanta's right among it. And so I don't think this is one that we say it in the other football all the time, throw out the records. They don't mean anything. And it certainly happens that way when these two teams square off.
Yep, and it's going to be fun in the East. Obviously, Atlanta United is going to have to try and figure out what they're going to do at the back with Elias Baye is getting a yellow, so he'll be out on accumulation. And what the right-hand side of the attack for Charlotte may be, going up against the left-hand side in the decision that is made for Atlanta United. If you would please, sir, cut the promo for any and all of everything going on where we can be kept up to date 30 hours a day, 8 days a week, 390 days a year.
Well, we'll be obviously on the air at 7 o'clock for our pregame show on Saturday, 7:30 kick time, 7:40 kick time on Apple, and obviously on our flagship station, Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, and our 7-8 station network across both Carolinas and Virginia. Looking forward to being down and seeing all the fans, hopefully from the Black and Blue Nation, getting down there for that game. And obviously on Twitter, you can find me at Willie P Style. Looking forward to Anna and I both getting an opportunity to see what is one of our favorite fixtures of the year, just based on how much enmity seems to be between these two clubs.
Wow, he broke out enmity. As always, my friend, it's great to see you. And I am humbled and honored that we were the last to record or do anything out of Willie P version 1.0. And I can't wait to see 2.0. And obviously, in all seriousness, it's a big day for the family, considering that you're having a new casa being built. That's always something where you get to invest a lot of your emotion and all of your space. And
take a good look, John. Take a good look, John. You won't see it anymore.
Can't wait to see what 2.0 is. We'll see you this weekend, my friend. Great to see you.
Thank you, John.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Always great to catch up with Willie P. Style to find out what's going on up in Charlotte as they are getting ready to make a push toward the upper half of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. You're listening to the best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. Now we get to take the tour of what's going on with our friends at Apple TV. First and foremost, someone who is spending the entire weekend in one location. Well, two technically, hotel room and arena, same city, back-to-back days. Different leagues. Lori Lindsay starting her weekend off on Friday with the NWSL and with Gotham. And then Saturday, she waits for everybody else, unless it's the same production crew, when you end up with Red Bulls hosting Philadelphia Union. Here's Lori Lindsay letting us know about just how busy she is as one of the busiest people in TV. Since it is hour number two, and we have had the hydration break, we trust that this individual has already properly hydrated. But if she wants to hydrate during the segment, that's perfectly fine. We bring in Lori Lindsay, one of the busiest people in show business. Lori Lindsay, what up?
Hey, how's it going, John? How are you doing?
Trying to be as busy as you. Do you know what town you are in?
I do, which is surprising. But I am in Harrison, New Jersey. Uh-huh. One for the Gotham-Portland game tonight in a BSL, and then for Red Bull versus Philadelphia tomorrow night. So I got to stay in one place. That's a win. How you doing?
Trying to sort it out with you. So, okay, so since you mentioned what you're up to tonight, so what's study hall been like getting ready for the Gotham matchup?
Well, we've actually basically been the local broadcast for Gotham this month of August because we've had, so I think, our third or fourth game with them. Actually, third in August, and we had one. We had this exact matchup in Portland at the end of July as well. So, listen, one versus three. Gotham are on a nine-game win streak, number one right now, sitting on top of the Shield race. And Portland, sorry if there's some background noise. Seems to be a lot of honking out there, but regardless –
Did you call the? Did somebody call the cops on you or something?
No, no one did. I've just got to get my coffee this morning and behave myself. Not always the case, but
I'll ask Hildreth about that. Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, should be fun. You got Sophia Wilson, Pietro Tordin on one side, right? These players, and they're starting to catch a little bit more momentum, even though they lost Olivia Moultrie, which is a big loss for Portland, but. Yeah, it should be a fun one. Really good matchup tonight.
What's it been? And Courage has been climbing the table. What's it been like to see Courage in that offense kick in?
Yeah, I mean, well done, Ash Sanchez. That's amazing. Leads Golden Boot race right now. Had two goals again this past Wednesday. It was the lone Wednesday game that we had. So her two goals beat Angel City. But yeah, I mean, credit to them. Because when Menaka left to go to the WSL in Europe, she was kind of like their, you know, the main creator in the midfield for them. I actually wasn't really sure what the team was going to look like because she and Ashley Sanchez played off of one another really well. And I was, to be honest, a little concerned that like that would affect Ashley Sanchez's play and just how much she was able to get on the ball. But they have really, the team has taken a step forward, but like all the credit to Ashley Sanchez because she has, she has vision. She has skills that a lot of players that you don't typically see possess, and she's just taken this team on her shoulders this season. It's been fun to watch.
Then Saturday it is. I think you'll probably be standing, I would guess, in the same exact spot.
Exact spot. Yep.
What has gotten into Philly recently? You know, obviously they seem to have found themselves a little bit under Ryan Richter, and now they're taking on Red Bulls, and Red Bulls is like the Forrest Gump box of chocolates. What are you anticipating here?
Yeah, funny enough, I was Chris Whittingham and I were on this game. It was the first game back from World Cup break in Philly late July, so we get this rematch as well. You know what it is about Philly? I think some they just needed to regroup. So the World Cup break, where for some teams it's, you know, like, goodness, we can't really get the form back that we had prior to World Cup. And other teams use it as like, all right, let's just reset and use this as a new life, or actually a new season. So I think first and foremost, that came at a really important time for Philly to be able to regroup. You get Kai Wagner, Kevin Sullivan now. Obviously, there's a ton of trust in him to play and perform. And it sounds like he's really gaining the respect consistently of his teammates. So they're allowing him to try his stuff and the pizzazz that he has in the attack. But I also think then belief and confidence obviously goes a long way. But I think outside of that too, they changed up the press a little bit in the sense that that's where they were getting beat in like defensive transition, and kind of, you know, adjusted that in the sense that now they're able to, you know, hold teams off a little bit better. So yeah, they've been fun. Back to their old identity, it feels like.
If you and if you've already had this part of your production call, I don't want you to divulge who these individuals are. But traditionally, when folks will watch an Apple broadcast or any broadcast, it will be the players to watch segment. You know, it'll come up title over wide. You'll do your intros. It'll be the voices. Hey, you know, we're doing this. You roll through the basics. And then you've got the players to watch.
Yeah,
I don't know if you figured out who those are. If you have, don't say, because if somebody's going to be watching, I want them to be surprised. Okay. But along those lines, if you and I were in the booth and I bumped Chris or told Chris to go down two levels just to the main level and go get some pizza or something and come back in about 5 minutes. If you and I were doing players to watch, but it's not the players to watch that are going to be on the broadcast, who would be like your B players, those second level guys, the foot soldiers for both of these teams that will not make players to watch on the broadcast, but should be players to watch on the broadcast?
Yeah, that's a good, great question. Well, I think with these two teams, you could pick a lot of players and they still wouldn't be considered B players, really. But I know what you mean in the sense of like that we don't typically. I would say Danley or Lukic in the midfield. Okay. Probably I'd go with Danley, even though my buddy Danny Higginbottom loves to choose holding midfielders. It's a big joke between us and our group text.
Well, no, we are the Holding Midfielders Appreciation Society, so we completely understand.
Yeah. So I would, most likely probably go with Danley in the sense that, you know, he's the one in there that's breaking up plays, but we've also seen his timing and his ability to get into the box at the right time and help create an attack or finish play. So I think he's instrumental. So he's who I would choose or Harriel. I mean, I think he's a big unsung hero for this Philadelphia team. He's played outside back, he's played center back, and he has production on both sides of the ball because he's good on set pieces too. And then who would I go with? Red Bull. Well, you know who's really caught my eye, and he's probably been a player of the, he's probably been a player to watch already too. But Mamedi, I think this young kid is so good. He's also a midfielder, obviously. He's played a little bit deeper prior, but it does seem like he's maybe inching his way into a little bit more of like not an attacking role, I would say, but has more freedom to get forward. But I really like him. I mean, the way he faces, he's tidy on the ball, gets faced up. Especially as a young age, I think a lot of times when the pace increases in the midfield, it's not that you panic on the ball, but you don't necessarily create the angles for yourself to be able to like get faced up and play forward. And I think he's exceptional at that.
Lori Lindsay hanging out with us with her morning cup of coffee. Kai Kamara said to join us in about 6 minutes. Now, we believe in hydration here. We want to have all of our guests at peak performance, no matter what time of the morning it is. How different is this Philadelphia team? Now, we're used to the Philadelphia Union, the pressing, whether it was with Bradley Carnell in year one, Jim Curtin all the way back, Ryan Richter now. How different is this Philadelphia Union team in their approach? Is it still the, I'm going to try to press you out of the building and go from there? How different is it? Is it tweaked any?
I mean, I actually, no, they're still going to press. They still want to be direct and get forward as quickly as possible. So I feel like there is a lot of similarities. I was just saying, like, it's more about going together and being like a collective unit when they go, because that's what was causing them some issues. One, they weren't finishing plays, right? So then it's like natural decline in confidence. But I think they were getting beat a lot of times when the first line was hard to press and then there was just too many gaps. And at that point in time, you're just chasing the opposition. So I would say as a collective, they've gotten much better. I also think Kai Wagner is a big piece to that, because obviously he got back in at the exact right time after the World Cup break. And his leader, and even though we might not hear about this a lot, I'm be surprised if this isn't the case, but his leadership, his ability to help adjust the press in real time, I think is something that's probably missing in that first part of the season. They needed some just like more experience, a vocal leader in that regard. And I think he has a ability to do that from the back line. So I'm sure that's helped too. But no, they're still going to smother. I think they're still excellent in the sense that once they do lock you in, they make it really difficult. Rest defense, if that's what you want to call it, like behind the ball, right? They make it difficult for teams to be able to get out. And I think they just got back to being focused in that and making sure it's a unit and it's cohesive.
With Red Bulls, I know that folks were freaking out a little bit early in the year when Michael Bradley started a lot of the baby bowls, and it was like, well, no, he actually coached them last year. He knows what he's getting with them. That's he did this. And it looked like they kind of hit a wall early. They were it's like, oh-ish, you know, we actually are playing here in Major League Soccer, all the young guys. But then they seem to have navigated through that. And so the sine wave that is the season with the Red Bulls, it looks like they've kind of reoriented. What have you seen with what Michael Bradley's done with this young group?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're – that's the biggest thing. We talked with Ryan Richter about it too, with like Kevin Sullivan. I mean, Sullivan's still a young player. He's still making his way back completely from his ACL. But some of these other players too, Westfield for Philadelphia. But I say that because we were actually just having this conversation yesterday with him about, first and foremost, it's about giving these young players opportunity. And then it's then how do you grow within that when you do get those minutes? So I feel the same about Mamedi and Julian Hall, these players that are getting these minutes. It's about them, you know, you having confidence in them as a coaching staff and an organization, and then just allowing them to work through some of the highs and lows. And I agree with you. I think that they to be able to perform and do what they're doing, I do feel like right now they're in an interesting spot. Like one of the things that Michael Brad was saying was, you know, after the World Cup break too, it was like, we just want to continue to replicate what we did the first part, because they were in a good position. They still very much are, but I feel like in terms of results a little bit recently, they've declined. So it's just about getting back on track. But yeah, I mean, listen, the biggest thing is these guys are performing. So it's not like, hey, we're just putting you on the field to give you opportunity. They're actually getting an opportunity. They're taking those opportunities, and the results are showing in the sense that they're putting in good performances individually.
Laurie Lindsay, busy in the swamps of Jersey this weekend, standing in the exact same spot back-to-back days, Friday with the NWSL, Saturday with Major League Soccer. This is the first time that we've had you on since a particular announcement happened, and I wanted to get your thoughts on JP Della Camera. And, you know, obviously JP is not going to be doing any more World Cups and things like that, still going to be navigating the play-by-play booth. I wanted to ask you, considering you and JP have been paired a lot,
yeah,
what was the first lesson in broadcasting that JP taught you or that you learned from him that has stuck with you the longest?
Oh, goodness. You know, I was just texting him, myself, him, and Sharni Yerke, who's a longtime producer for both NWSL and MLS, and she was with us during the World Cup. She's the one that traveled with us through the stadium, so the three of us were together, and so we have a group message. And he's way funnier than a lot of people I think actually know, and so he's up for a joke. But I would say, I'm trying to think if I remember a first thing, because the thing about the thing about JP is I don't feel like he just instills wisdom. He just says some things every once in a while, and you're just like, but I would say the biggest thing about JP is his calmness. He is prepared and he is so ready to go when that whistle blows. And prior to, right? Like the 2 hours were there stuff. But there is something about being able to channel energy in like the biggest moments where, like, you know, if you're excited, if you're pumped up, that affects everything. That affects your voice, that affects how the cadence, the pacing of how you speak during a broadcast. And he's exceptional with that. He just is like so in tune with like what's happening. He's taking it all in. And I've really just been able to, I'll just watch. He's not always saying stuff. I mean, he's always, if you want feedback, he'll give the feedback, right? But it's more so just about watching how he approaches everything, especially with the longevity of his career. And that's the, I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is like, yep, take some deep breaths. Here we go. And then that just sets the tone for everything in terms of like the calmness within. And then the excitement can be brought to the viewer because there's a control, right? In that sense.
And I mean, look, we even got the chance to see him call hockey when.
Totally. He tells those stories. Yeah. Yes.
The Atlanta Thrashers when he was here, and we got to share in that hockeyness. And but there's always this part of me that always sticks. I'm always thinking John Paul Della Camera and Ty Keough. Literally, that was my first exposure was the MISL, and so I'm just waiting for that run on sentence to happen at some point.
It's amazing.
Yeah, literally, because I'm 704 years old, and that was the first reference and the first time that I got to the JP Della Camera. Have fantastic calls. Continue your hydration. Go get some breakfast. Go get a workout, and we will catch up with you on the flip side. You know that this door is open on Fridays if you want to vent your spleen and you're like, I got to get something off my chest.
Yeah.
You know, you can dial in anytime. Go get them, and we'll catch you soon, Lori.
Yes, thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back on.
You got it. There she goes. Lori Lindsay in the Swamps of Jersey, two straight days. And so she's got NWSL tonight, Major League Soccer tomorrow. Swear to God, the busiest person in show business. I'd love to know how many miles she has, if she's like silver or gold medallion or whatever, platinum. She's probably like uber platinum medallion because of all the miles that she has put in this year, every year. I'd love to know how many days she has matches. See, this is I don't know if she's got this on a spreadsheet or if she's going to have somebody do it for her. How many matches she calls, how many different leagues she's called, and how many miles she's gotten on her plane. Can she get on first if she wants to? It's like miles and points. Got to find this out. And how many matches she calls on average in a calendar year? Because we didn't even get into Leagues Cup. She called a Toluca match on Leagues Cup. She had that this week. So she literally one of the busiest people in show business, Lori Lindsay. And so it's great to catch up with her and find out what is going on in the world of Lori Lindsay. And yeah, like I said, she's all over the place. Absolutely all over the place.
People say, I got you, all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck High Rocks is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Belisai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Belisai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Belisai wherever you get your podcasts.
Always great to catch up with Lori, whether it's in Philly or whether it's in Harrison, New Jersey, or close to Harrison, New Jersey, as she is this weekend and standing in the same exact spot to call two different matches. Very, very cool to catch up with her as always. Now, this one was kind of fun. And he's the new kid in school. And we get to find out what it's like to be said new kid from Kai Kamara. Kai Kamara now spending time dressed up from the desk up. Well, knowing Kai, he's probably styling and profiling from wherever he is. But he's now on the other side of the anchor desk. And he gets to hang out with Kevin Egan, BWP, and everybody else there at MLS 360. So we kind of sampled what it's like for Kai to be the new guy and what it's like for him to talk about things as opposed to actually play. And then there's also D2 soccer. Now it's time. We get to talk Cal State Dominguez Hills Toros soccer. And he's already smiling about it because that was such a load up. That was a loaded question. Kai Kamara, what is up, dude?
Cal State Dominguez Hills soccer, huh? I love that.
Oh, yeah. That was a slam dunk, man. As someone who was born in Lakewood, at Lakewood General Hospital, off 91 Freeway, the single level with the neon sign, I had to bring up Cal State Dominguez Hills. I probably would have gone to Fullerton and tried to catch on with the baseball team and be a left-handed reliever with Augie Garrido. But literally Fullerton with me, and I remember football at Fullerton. That's how old I am. But yeah, when I get to drop a Cal State Dominguez Hills reference, I'm not going to sit there and complain about it.
That's beautiful. Thanks, John.
Welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. I mean, it's the first time really that ever in my whole playing career, even though now I'm not playing anymore, that I started something and somebody dropped a Cal State Dominguez Hill. So it gave me warm hearts. It takes me back. And I have to say, man, college was so awesome. I went to Cal State Dominguez Hills Division II school when I grew up around everybody else that went to UCLA and Cal. Yeah. And we played, you know, in this PDL team together, and me just wishing that I went to big schools like them. And finally, I had a chance to transfer. And then I came back to Cal State Dominguez Hills to the coach's office, and I said, I'm not going. He's like, why? I said, I feel more like a family here. Everywhere I went to, they BS'd me. They told me so much that they're going to do this for me and this for me. You never have said that. You just let me be me. So I was like, I just stayed.
Wow. Yeah. Very cool. Now that you are no longer playing, you're on a different team. They have thrown you into the hottest seat known to mankind. They put you at the adult table, and they put you in the middle, man. You got to put up with Egan and BWP and Sash and whomever. You're like center. You're the striker on that table now.
Legends. Sash, actually, and you mentioned, so that team that I told you, the PDL team, Sasha was part of that team. So I was looking at all these guys playing for the U.S., you know, under 20s, like under 18s, like amazing. But being with the Apple crew, yes, it's different. Like, I've been watching these guys, and usually I have to say I visualize myself being with them until I was finally with them last week, and I was like, guys, I'm a little nervous, you know. You guys know MLS a lot more than I do now, but and BWP, I was always like, come on, Brad, stop scoring so many goals. You're getting too close to me, you know. I'm jealous. You're playing for New York Red Bull, just one team. I keep traveling to like a million teams, and you keep scoring goals. So yeah, it's great to be with that Apple crew right now.
Do you have at least one jersey or piece of clothing from every team that you were a part of in Major League Soccer?
Currently, not the one I'm wearing, but yes, I do. I love collections, and what the crazy thing is, when I play against all, because I'm on one team that I move. So every team I play against, almost every game, I have to jersey swap with some guys. Mm-hmm. And my equipment managers are always coming up to me, Kai, you're down to two jerseys. You're down to this jersey. So, but I do keep, I have suitcases. So when you go on the team, you get a bag when you first join the team with all the team gear. So I have down in my basement, sorry, I can't take a tour with you. I have a bag from every team, and I store all those things in them.
That's crazy. I wanted to ask, you know, really, really quickly, because it's a new thing for you.
and being there at the table, yeah, you're shooting, you know, you're shooting the breeze with everybody. You're bringing your knowledge in. But it's a different thing now where you've got to kind of cut your head in half, where you've got to listen to what's going on in your ear, where they're telling you where to go, and then you got to listen to what's going on at the table. How difficult is it for you to get this skill set of cutting your head in half so you're listening to two conversations at once?
You know, John, it's well, one, it's great. It's great to see the art of this side of, you know, entertainment for me. But it was something I was always fascinated about when I moved from Sierra Leone and grew up in L.A. Again, Los Angeles is Hollywood. So my cousins were in the movie Amistad, the movie about slavery.
Really?
Yeah, my cousin, my uncles, and all of them. So they were working on Amistad 2. And that's when I started feeling like, you know what, I want to be in the movie too. So I started becoming so fascinated about, you know, being in movies and things. So that was always a dream that I wanted to be an actor. So in 2015, I started taking acting classes when I returned back to the U.S. after my stint in England. Mm-hmm. So I started doing that. So, you know, getting more comfortable. But MLS has done something good for me throughout my career. They've always invited me to media days. They've always invited me to do little, you know, commercials, little videos. So it made me comfortable a lot more. And finally, to be in this part of the spectrum, to hang out with these guys in studios and having the producers in your ears and telling you what to do. I think the first one, I have to be completely honest, is when you get a countdown and you're just delivering a message and then somebody's saying, yeah, 10 seconds to break. Yeah. And I'm like, how do I go fast, really fast? Because I need to get this in. So, but it's different, but hopefully, you know, I'll keep training and keep getting used to it. Listen to the producers more as when you listen to your coaches on the field. So, but it's good. It's something different, but I really enjoy it. I really enjoy the storytelling of things and more of the sport that I know, that I grew up with. So to be able to be out there and tell stories, but now also doing homework, the research and all that, to knowing all these things. It's really fun.
Another couple of minutes here with Kai Kamara, Javier Perez, Director of Methodology for Atlanta United, joining us at the bottom of the hour. So when it comes to learning, are you more of a visual learner as a TV personality, or do you need to have things on pieces of paper to sit there and sift through and highlight and that kind of stuff?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I think I'm a visual. Visual obviously helps so much more since I've been around the game for so long, and those are the things. We get shown videos, we get shown plays, and you know, I guess we still get scripts and they say go out there and perform it on the field. Mm-hmm. But at the same time now with this part, doing stuff, there has to be a lot more into it, a lot more documentations because of, you know, players and stats and those kind of things that you want to make sure that I'm delivering. If I say Messi has scored 13 goals and, you know, Inter Miami is, you know, have 40 goals against already, and it's not good. You know, I'm not going to talk bad about Atlanta right now since I want to grow some audience in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's all good, dude. They won three in a row. They won three in a row, 2-1. That means they won the first set 6-3, and, you know, they got Charlotte coming into town. It's all good.
Yes, no, it's great. But, yes, definitely, I think I do a little bit of both, and I enjoy that part to actually do the research and have some things in front of me. But, again, being part of soccer for – 2 decades, you know, 20 years of playing professionally, for me, you know, the visual, when I see things and I see plays, and I did my coaching license, I see videos, I can analyze those things also.
You realize, of course, that now that you are in, you know how to get in. And if you're ever losing your mind over a topic on a Friday in this hour, it is literally an open door for everybody that comes in. I had Lori Lindsay on before you. Devin Kerr comes in. He'll crash for me.
I love Lauren. Yeah, oh, she's awesome.
And so, yeah, Lori came in and she brought her cup of coffee. Devin Kerr comes in. He'll usually crash from a Sbarro in an airport someplace. Literally, if anybody has anything on their mind that they want to vent their spleen about, they can come in here and just crash the party in the final hour of the week, because that's what it is. We're getting everybody ready for the weekend. And if you've got something that's on your mind, you got to sit there and it's like, I got to get this off my chest. Oh, I know what I can do. I've got the garage door opener. I know where Nelson is. I can go and talk to him. great to see you. First and foremost, go Toros. And like I said, you know, you can crash anytime, and you know that we'll be knocking on your door a lot and watching. Can't wait to see you completely and totally take everybody to school there at the table on MLS 360. Congratulations.
Not sure it's going to happen, but I appreciate you. And I have one question for you before I go.
Yeah.
How many scarves do you have up?
9 gazillion.
What was your first follow-up? What was your first scarf? Yes.
Oh, the first scarf. Oh, my God. Wow, that's a hell of a question. I don't remember. That's a tough one. But I will say this. Pier 1 Imports, the triple shower rack. The triple shower rack helps out with the doors. That's what happens here. So the triple rack for the shower towels, that's here and here on the doors. The boss, she had to reinforce the curtains behind me because I had too many winter scarves on it.
Okay.
And so because I had too many winter scarves, and so it was dropping the it literally had to pull it out of the wall. And so she had to reinforce the curtain rods back here for everything there. I know what my first one was. My first one was one of our original scarves here at the network. That was one of my first ones because we wanted to do that kind of thing for promotions and such. So that was my first one. One of the SDH scarves. And above this, out of the shot, I have a train track that's about a foot down from the ceiling, and it's got about 275 hats on it because I've got about 450, and I can peer into them. And here, let me show you real quick. Let me do that. So there, that's what that looks like. That's on three of the four walls here in the office.
Okay.
So,
okay. Yes,
that's what it looks like. And I just completely and totally just break everything. That's good. All right. So
sorry about that. It's so totally my fault.
No, it's all good, Kai. It's all good. I can't thank you enough for doing this. And you come in here and crash at any time. It's always great to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
There he goes. Be all safe and go kick you know what, you know?
That's it. Thanks, bud.
Always great to find out what's going on with Kai Kamara, and can't wait to see how he continues to grow in the industry as he's sitting at the desk learning about highlights and how to interact and all the anchors and all the conversations that you get to have. So it's great to catch up with Kai Kamara, find out what it's like for him to be a part of MLS 360. That is another go-round of the best of SDHAM. Thanks to Will Pelagic. Thanks to Lori Lindsay. Thanks to Kai Kamara. Thanks to our friends at Major League Soccer and at Apple TV. And thanks to you for hanging out with us as you always do, regardless of the size of the device, large or small, and whether you're catching us here on tape, on the Odyssey app, 92.9 The Game, however you access us every single week, it's always great to have you a part of our week at the SDH Network. And don't forget to like, friend, be a part of the conversation with all of us at Soccer Down Here on your social media. For Jason, for Maddie, for Sophia, for Vanessa, for Nick, and Jared, I'm just John. Thanks for dropping by. For the best of SDHAM, mucha platia, I'll play it safe. We will see you at your favorite games as we break down the entire sport of soccer right here every week.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. WeShare Health. We got you.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.